Thank you. And greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are thankful to be back home in our familiar surroundings, although we greatly rejoiced in the last 2 weeks with our grandson Ian on both a vacation, the first I've had in about 10 years, and some missionary work along the way. And we felt blessed in all of it. The weather cooperated with us very nicely. The reunion was well attended for that rather remote area of the church, and yet their chapel was pretty well filled for all of the activities, and we all enjoyed that blessing. It's the first time I've ever been up in that part of the country. In fact, while I've flown over it many times, east and west, that's the first time I've had the privilege of driving through that part and the history of this great nation, which we were able to hit a few highlights. We weren't able to see nearly all that we would like to have done, but my lifetime probably don't have that much time left to see them all either. So, but this is a part of the blessing that the Lord has given me, and the privilege He has given me to serve Him. But He has placed on my heart and my mind this morning another responsibility. And I want to turn to begin with for, I don't usually use the scriptural reading, but I'm going to this morning, in Ezekiel, the 30th chapter and the first three verses. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, howl ye, woe worth of the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, that shall be a time of the heathen. And it was impressed upon me as I studied, as it has numerous other times as I've read this scripture and thought upon it, pondered upon it, and looked upon the world around us, both in this nation and throughout the entire globe, that it is indeed a time of the heathen. A time of the heathen is the end of the Gentile period, comes at that time. And as we study the scriptures, and we see about us the ripening in iniquity that the scriptures tell us will be in this last day, before that great conflict between good and evil upon the earth, in which Christ will come to make that final settlement and judgment at the end of this period and the beginning of the 1,000-year reign with Him in peace and love throughout the world. And I know that that is the anticipation of each of us as we endure the conflicts, the problems with physical and spiritual being, as we look upon the world and the great conflict into which it is daily growing worse. And there will be no end until he comes. And that is the thing that I would like to impress upon us, not only upon you, but upon myself, that I also never forget the great sacrifice which our Lord and Savior made for you and me individually, that we might endure this day, this time, this age, and be found clean before him when we draw that last breath, when our heart beats that last beat, and we meet our everlasting Savior, where our final judgment will be made. And I'd like to turn now over to the Book of Mormon and the third book of Nephi and the ninth chapter, and let's begin on page 664. And I want to begin with the 105th verse. Just read two verses there, and then we'll continue into the 10th. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. And he's prophesying of this last day, of which Ezekiel spoke of, and which he has just finished quite an exhortation in the 8th, 9th chapters, and somewhat before that. When these things shall be done away, for it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Now, he does not exempt Israel from these things. He includes Israel. All who refuse to come unto his Son, Jesus Christ, be he Jew or Gentile. And that is our responsibility. That is, we need to understand that while he has made many promises, specific promises in many cases, to the house of Israel, he has not denied any who will come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, believe upon his Son, and keep his commandments, that they too will be privileged to enjoy those things which he has promised to his chosen people. We will be numbered among them, he tells us in the scriptures. And now I want to go on down to the 10th chapter and continue to read. And this is the thing that you and I must get firmly fixed in our mind. That is our primary goal in this day and time in which we live, in which he has given us a period of time to perform. But if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be humbled among and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. Now, this assisting is the thing that is our great responsibility and obligation today. We must prepare ourselves for receiving into the church of Christ with headquarters on the Temple Mount. All of the house of Israel that will come, all of the tribes from Lehi that will come, to whom he gave this land specifically for their everlasting inheritance. And we are to assist them in this thing. You know, we have many concepts, unfortunately, of what assist is. Some believe that we doing it all for them, that's assisting them. No, that's not. Assisting is to make it possible for them to take the lead and to do the thing that he has proclaimed they shall do. Going on with the second verse, and also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city, which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Now those, many of us, I hope all of us, in the Church of Christ today, recognize that we are standing, I'm standing, you're sitting, on that very spot at which that city is to be built, to begin. Where just to our right is the spot where the temple to which the Lord will come will be built. Now, we, as the Church of Christ is composed today, are not going to build that building. We are to gather in that people, convert them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they will come and they will build and we will assist. You know, that's a very difficult thing for a Gentile to do, to think that he has to take second place to another nation, another people. But you know, that was the responsibility, that was the declaration that Jesus Christ gave, even his Father gave, because he said that he never spoke a word or gave a prophecy or a commandment to any family, any people, except he was commanded of the Father to do so. So when we read his commandments, we know it's not only Jesus Christ speaking, it's also that everlasting God, the Father, eternal, who was from the beginning and will be to the end, and there will be no end. He is the one who commands. And it is our choice to accept that commandment or to reject it. And woe be unto those who reject the word of the Lord. Any part of it. We cannot withhold, well, I'll do it all except I'll hold back this little bit for myself. You know, there's a good example of that in, and I'm not going to turn to it this morning, but I'll refer to it by I believe it was Sapphira and Ananias at the day of Pentecost, when the people were selling their homes, their possessions, and they were giving it to the disciples for the distribution among the needy, and to themselves too. They were giving back a portion of their own need. And Ananias came and he laid a sum before the disciples at their feet and said this was what he had gained from his property. And shortly thereafter, Sapphira came and verified that yes, that was all that they had received. that immediately they were both struck dead because they had lied to the Holy Ghost. Not just to the disciples, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. And you know, we're not any better than them. If we withhold that which we say we have given, any part of it, we too can expect that same thing. We may not die physically at that moment, but we will certainly die physically, or spiritually, rather, at that moment. And the disciples told them before they passed on that while it was theirs to do with as they chose. They could have kept it, lived in it, used it, cultivated it, whatever they had, multiplied it. But when they came and laid it at the disciples' feet and said, "This is all that we possess. We give it all." They lied to the Holy Ghost. Let us not be like-minded in anything. It doesn't have to be the cash we have in our billfold or the stocks we have in the bank or our home. It can be our time. You know, for every one of us, whether we realize it or not, our time is precious. It is a gift of God that we might serve Him with it and in that time. And it is through this process that the Lord and His, as one writer in the scripture says, foolishness of preaching, that the gospel would be heard throughout the nations. And the world would be converted, that is, those who would convert, and the world saved. And you know, we have many missionaries committed to the fields. We see the progress being made in and has for many years in Mexico, and by more recent years in Africa, in the Philippines, and efforts needed in Australia and New Zealand, and beginning has started in India, among those, and I am convinced, and the ones that I have checked up on through research, and I'm not going to enumerate them, confuse you, but those who are so readily waiting for our missionaries to come and to give them the gospel and the opportunity to obey the commandments of repentance and baptism and the laying on of hands for the receiving of the Holy Ghost. How many of you, I'm going to ask for a show of hands here in just a second. How many of you like to read where 40 or 50 a day are being baptized in these various places? How many of you like to see that? How many of you want to see it continue? Good. Good. Because that is where this promise, this revelation, prophecy, in the 10th chapter, that's the way it's going to take place. But you know, we need that same kind of activity here within the boundaries of the United States. We need to carry this gospel to the various tribes of Lehi and Nephi. Some of them sit here in this room this morning. Some have gone from here to do missionary work, and I don't see his face here. I'm not going to name his name. Most of you know who he is. And he is now down in a different part of Mexico, over on the eastern part, or western part of Mexico, with his family, where for many years the Book of Mormon has been taken, but there was no authority to baptize and bring them into the church. That opportunity is now being had. We're going to see a greater result and harvest of that field which the Lord said many, many, many years ago was already white and ready for harvest. To thrust in your sickles and reap. And you know, we don't have to go any great distance from here, from this very place. I dare say that within a 10-mile radius of this very spot on which we live, where which we stand, there are probably several thousand, maybe 100,000, of the tribes of Lehi and Nephi who need to hear the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and be brought in to assist and to work in this great work which lies before us. You know, the Lord gave us another commandment that all too few of us, perhaps all of us, have paid enough attention. He said, "Bring ye into my storehouse all the tithes and your offerings, that you might be blessed to feed the orphan and the homeless, the widow, and to carry the gospel to the nations of the earth." Those of you who were here at conference in April heard the financial report of the Church of Christ. Yes, we have so far a surplus of funds that we don't budget. But the output that we have been making for 2 years now, and as I talked to the bishop or the business manager particularly, he says that trend hasn't changed yet. Has it changed yet, Alvin? It hasn't changed. We're still spending more money than we're receiving in tithing and offering. How long is that reserve to which they have been so diligent and so blessed of the Lord in watching over going to last if we don't change our ways? How many of you, like me, have a mortgage on your home that if you don't get that mortgage paid, you're going to lose your shelter? And the big storm in St. Louis overnight and yesterday, and as Brother Gary told us this morning, he got a big tree blown over in his yard. You know, if it had hit the yard, you got the money in the bank to pay for repairing all of that? You'd had to go somewhere and got alone, no doubt, like the rest of us. You know, the church is no different. The church is no different. You know, if we don't pay the utilities, you're not going to have any lights. You're certainly not going to have the speakers where you can all hear. You're not going to have the kitchen downstairs where we can serve meals every Sunday and for your union and so forth. We're not going to have funds to send our youth to camp where they can learn of Christ and learn to serve Him. We're not going to have missionaries that go to these distant lands or even here in town if we don't pay our tithes. You know, everything we have is the Lord's. We don't own anything. We boast that we own this and that and that and the other. But the Lord gave that to you. He provided that to you. You know, well, but I'm smart enough. I did this on my own, did you? Who gave you the brain? Who gave you the ability to use it? Who gave you the physical ability to manipulate the computers that we all have, almost all of us anyway? I don't know what I'd do right now without mine. Ian and I would have been hopelessly lost 2 or 3 times if I hadn't had a good mapping system on my computer plugged into my car, and one of us navigating and the other driving for almost 5,000 miles. And in spite of that, we did get lost 3 or 4 times. Real good, didn't we, Ian? And one time it took us almost 2 hours to get back to where we started. Because back there, streets aren't like here. You hardly ever find one that runs north or east or south or west. They're this way and that way, and then you get into D.C., and man, you're totally lost, besides all the stoplights and everything else. But we were able to make it. Not so much by the computers that we had, but by the watch care of our Lord and Savior. Yes, most of what we went for was relaxation from the great strain that I've been under for well over 10 years caring for my spouse. And I needed to get out of the home, see new people, do some of the work that the Lord has called me to do. And our trip was primarily to see if I could again go to the field. I feel confident that if it's the Lord's will and His blessing upon me, I can do that. Well, I'll miss Ian on some of those trips, but maybe I can take him on another. And I know he'll miss them. We were great buddies on our trip. We had good services at 2 homes. The daughter of sister, brother and sister Tarbell, who just recently, her and her husband and her little, I think about 3-year-old, EJ, full of vinegar and spice and activity and energy, just moved, just happened to about 15 minutes away from where our motel was, about 20 miles north of the Capitol. Her husband is not yet a member of the church. She's a very strong member. And one of her desires was to be relocated. He needed a better job. Be located where they could have some church affiliation, association. Well, we had two good sessions with them. Her husband fired questions at me just almost like a machine gun. Good questions. Showed he's thinking deeply. And I could see on her face the joy that her husband has that kind of interest. I don't want to see that killed in any way, hindered in any way, increased in every way. We wanted to see another sister. Brother Buzz had asked me to visit, but she had just brought her husband home from hip surgery, and she was not able to receive company. She needs our prayers. And these are only a few of those whom the Lord has given us all the responsibility for. It doesn't matter what race or color they are, what background they have. You know, that was one thing that we rejoiced, and Ian and I commented several times after we left the reunion. One mother from down in the Bronx, one of the worst parts of New York City, brought her two young daughters and a son. I believe it was a son, wouldn't it be? Yeah. And they brought also a friend who just happened to be black. And they enjoyed that service, that reunion. Their friend participated, and he had some really good questions, showing that he's thinking deeply. He's only, I don't think he's quite Ian's age yet, 16. The others were on down to 10, 11. And you know, these reunions are of great strength and health, and we're going to have one here beginning next Sunday, or no, next Friday, in which we also hope that that spirit which was working there, not because I was there, but I was able to enjoy it because I was there. I was able to participate because I was there. We pray will be with us here. We pray that our young people in their camp will also be blessed and strengthened and encouraged to take that step into the waters of baptism and become a full member of the Church of Christ. And others, there's none too young, except they be too young to understand the gospel, and none too old, but what are eligible upon the conditions that God has set forth, not the church, not me, not you, that God has set forth for membership in his great family. And you know, those of us who have traveled in the fields feel that family tie that is like no other. No, we can't even build it. As hard as my companion and I worked, and we have a great relationship, yet the tie of the children of God, his kingdom, his church, is far greater. We've hit on two or three things this morning: missionary work, but tithing is probably the thing that we need, each of us, when we go from here, to consider. Are we tithing? Or are we giving any and all to the support of the church? and the seeing of the gospel spread. You know, with or without us, it's going to go and encompass the earth. And Christ will come. And those who have not come to him will be no part of his great kingdom in that day. I want to close by using one verse from Joel, 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. And here again, prophecy concerning the last days that Joel would give him. I want to use just this one verse out of it. Not that the rest is not important. It is. Study it all. Study both of these books from cover to cover as often as you have time. Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is nearer than the valley of decision. This very hour, this very day, is yours and my valley of decision. Now we must decide, will we serve God or will we part? That what you see when you leave here is the joyous face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, welcoming us to eternal life. May God bless you.